بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله سيد محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. This is Ali Atai, Lecturer of Comparative Theologies at Zaytuna College. We have reached in our Ramadan series entitled The Courageous Five, The Great Iconoclastic Prophets. We have reached our Master Isa alayhi salam, the Prophet Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam, Jesus the son of Mary, peace be upon both of them. Jesus, peace be upon him, is unique amongst these five in the sense that he was actually deified by many of his followers. And today, the belief that Isa alayhi salam is God, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is far and away the dominant theology amongst the Christian community. The verse that I'm going to use to set the stage, as it were, for this session is at the end of Surah Al-Ma'idah, ayah number 116, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَى ابْنَ مَرْيَمَ. إِذْ, first of all, the particle إِذْ, according to Imam At-Tantawi, is a particle of futurity, ظَرْفٌ لِلزَّمَانِ الْمُسْتَقْبَلِ. However, the verb that comes directly after إِذْ قَالَ, قَالَ is past tense, it's perfect tense. However, the meaning is future. So this is called a prophetic past tense. And this happens from time to time in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for example, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. And usually this is translated, the believers will prevail or will win. But here the verb is past perfect. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, speaking directly to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَكَ الْكَوْثَرِ. أَعْطَى is past tense, but usually translated, we will give you kawthar. What is kawthar? One of the meanings is Nahrun fil Jannah, a river in Jannah. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not have access to this river while he's living in Mecca. So what is the import of this prophetic past? We also find it in the Hebrew Bible. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, Ki yelid yulad lanu. Indeed, a son or a child will be given to us. But this verb in the Hebrew, yulad, is pu'al, perfect, passive. But it's translated in the future. What is the rhetorical import of the prophetic past is that it represents a guarantee, a guarantee from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this conversation will take place between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Isa alayhi salam. When will it take place? According to Imam al-Suyuti, fil qiyamah, on the day of judgment in front of the whole of humanity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, wa idh qala Allahu ya Isa ibn Maryam. God will say, O Jesus, the son of Mary. And interestingly, Ibn Maryam, this guttural aleph, is retained in the orthography to emphasize, as it were, that Isa alayhi salam is not the literal son of God, he is the son of Maryam. And Maryam alayhi salam is great in her own right. In fact, Imam Ibn Hazm and Imam al-Qurtubi, both of them insist that Maryam alayhi salam was actually a prophet. So what is the question that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to pose to Isa alayhi salam in front of the whole of humanity? He says, أَأَنْتَ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ. Ah, this hamza at the beginning of this statement is istifhamiyya. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking a question here. And he says, أَأَنْتَ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ. Very interesting in its syntax, in its construction here. The verb قُلْتَ, the morphology of this verb suggests second person masculine singular. Right? Did you say? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, he says, anta also. This seems somewhat redundant. But the rhetorical import of that is to stress, did you actually say? Did you say to humanity? What did he say? What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asking? Ittakhidhuni wa ummiya ilahaini min dunillah. Did you ever say to the people? And ittakhadha, form 8, it's reflexive. Did you ever say, take me for yourselves and my mother as deities other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Imam Abdullah ibn Alawi al-Haddad, as well as Imam al-Suyuti, both of them say here that when this question is posed to Isa alayhi salam, he begins to tremble. He begins to shake and quake from the force of the question. Now interestingly here, Western polemicists, they look at this ayah of the Qur'an and they say, look, the Qur'an has it wrong. The Qur'an has a strange conception, an erroneous conception of the Trinity, that the Qur'an conceives it as being somewhat of a holy family, the Father, Son, and the Holy Mother. But this is not a necessary conclusion. I don't see this verse as denouncing the Trinity, at least not in this verse.
I see this verse as denouncing what's known as Christolatry, the deification of Christ alayhi salam, and Mariolatry, the deification of Maryam alayhi salam. And we're going to talk about how Christ was deified, but how was Maryam alayhi salam deified? A quick example, the Third Ecumenical Council in 431 of the Common Era, the Council of Ephesus, it was voted upon by the Proto-Orthodox bishops that Maryam alayhi salam is Theotokos, which some have translated as the mother of God, but a more accurate translation is the bearer or carrier of God. So to suggest that an entity has the power or capacity to carry or bear God, to handle God, is to impute upon that entity a divine quality. So I don't see this verse as denouncing the Trinity, nor intermediacy through Maryam, nor even the explicit worship of Mary, but rather assigning Mary divine attributes, deifying Maryam alayhi salam. Now listen to the response of Isa alayhi salam. Qala subhanaka. He says, glory be to you. And linguistically here, this is called maf'ul mutlaq bi fi'lin mahduf, an absolute, an infinitive absolute for an apocopated verb. So it's very direct, it's very exclamatory. Glory be to you. Now I'm reminded of Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. And the parallel of this is found in Luke chapter 13, which means it originated from the Q source document, which scholars of Western Academy believe to be the best and most accurate source of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. This is what Jesus is reported to have said in Matthew 7, 21 to 23. He says, not everyone who says to me, Kurie, Kurie, in the Greek, Master, Master, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one, Hapoion thelema tu patras, but only the one who does the will of the Father. Now let's take a quick excursion here to talk about the term Father in the New Testament. Imam al-Ghazali, as well as Ahmad ibn Alawi, they both say that when you read the term Father in the Injil, in the New Testament, think Rabb. Ab means Rabb. Who is your Rabb? The Rabb is the one who takes care of you in stages, as our parents take care of us in stages. So there's a relationship here between Rabb and Ab. Interestingly enough, if you look at these five great prophets, at least four of them did not have their biological fathers in their lives. If you look, for example, at Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam, his father was not Azar, that was his uncle, and it's permissible to call your uncle Ab. Like he says in Surah Maryam, he says, Ya Abati. According to Ibn Hisham, the name of the father of Ibrahim alayhi salam was Tariq or Terach, as he's called in the book of Genesis. So Ibrahim alayhi salam has tarbiya rabbaniya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who raised him. In that sense, Ibrahim alayhi salam is the son of God. In that metaphorical sense, not in the literal sense. And this is what Imam al-Ghazali is trying to impart upon us. If you look at Musa alayhi salam, he did not have his biological father. He was raised in the house of Fir'aun, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of him and raised him. He is tarbiya rabbaniya. Isa alayhi salam did not have a father to begin with. Tarbiya rabbaniya. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his father died before he was born. He was raised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that sense that Allah was taking care of him. Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashabil fil. Allah speaking to him directly. The verb is second masculine, singular. Rabbuka. Have you not seen or understood the significance of your Lord as to what he did to the companions of the elephant? In other words, why do you think I did that? I was taking care of you. That was the year that you were going to be born. Alam yajidka yatiman fa'awa wa wajadaka dalan fahada. Did he not find you an orphan and give you shelter? Did he not find you searching and enamored and give you guidance? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he raised him up in stages. This is the meaning, according to the New Testament, of pater, of abba, of father. It means the Rabb, the one who takes care of you. It denotes God, imminent. And we find this analogy, this terminology, in the Old and New Testament. In the New Testament, of course, Isa alayhi salam is reported to have said in the Sermon on the Mount, in Syriac, his actual language, he said, Avunda vashmayo nethkatashmok, our Father who art in heaven, all of us, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. If we look into Psalm 82:6, it says, Kullakem bene elyon, all of you are sons of the Most High God. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 64, one of the prayers of the prophet Isaiah is, Ata Adonai Avinu, you are the Lord our Father. So this is very Hebraic type language, and it's meant to be majaz. It's meant to be figurative language, denoting an intimate relationship between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His servants. So let's go back to Matthew 7:21. Only those who do the will of the Father. He continues, on that day, many will come to me and say, Kurie, Kurie, Master, Master, did we not prophesize in your name, cast out demons in your name, and in your name perform many dunamis, which is a Greek word, means miracles of power, you know, healings, raising the dead, walking on water. Listen to the response of Isa alayhi salam as recorded by Matthew. He says, then I will tell them plainly, Ude pate egnon humas, never did I know you. Apokorate apemu, apokorate, present active imperative. In Greek, it calls for the action to be prolonged, meaning depart from me and stay away from me. Hoi ergazamanoi tein anomian, you workers of lawlessness, of anomos, you antinomians, you rejectors of the Sharia. You see, without the Sharia, to ground them in sound theology, many took to deifying Isa alayhi salam. Some have dubbed this as Ghazalian mirror Christology, that when the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reflected off the purified heart of Isa alayhi salam, those who weren't grounded in sound theology, those who did not follow the Sharia, they didn't know the mitzvot of Bani Israel, when they saw that reflection, they mistook the illuminated reflection for the illuminating source and began to deify Isa alayhi salam. It is as if they saw the reflection of the moon in a still lake and jumped into the lake in hopes of grabbing the moon, only to find themselves drowning. Yet how great is the difference between the actual moon and its reflection in the lake? How much more vast is the difference between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a human being? Laysa kamithlihi shay'un. There's nothing like the likes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whatsoever. We'll continue with this discussion next time, inshallah ta'ala. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.